The Island Digest is a sampling of the stories in this week's Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly, which are on newsstands now. The November 8th edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. I'm Caleb Summers. Headlines from the week of November 8th, 2023. To Thine Own Self Be True. Women Playing Hamlet Opens. The Samish Nations Fight Against Climate Change. Seniors Finish on a High Note. Plus excerpts from the Sheriff's Log. First, from the Islands Sounder, To Thine Own Self Be True. Women Playing Hamlet Opens. By Colleen Smith Summers. Hamlet is widely considered Shakespeare's greatest work and the most famous English-language play ever written. Throw in an all-female cast, jokes about the bard, and some serious personal reckoning, and you've got Women Playing Hamlet by William Missouri Downes. Described as a modern comedy about an old tragedy, the Actors Theatre of Orcas Island production will be at the Grange for 2 weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 10th, 11th, and 12th, and 17th, 18th, and 19th. Last winter, I went to Florida and saw dozens of plays. This is what I loved the most, said director Doug Bechtel. It was so fun and such a good time. We've had close to 40 rehearsals, and I still laugh at it. When Jessica is cast as Hamlet in a New York production, it sends her into an existential tailspin. It doesn't help that her acting coach is borderline abusive, or that every Starbucks barista with an MFA tells her that she is too young for the role, not to mention the fact that she is a woman. How can Jessica figure out to be or not to be when she can't even figure out herself? The cast features Alyssa Burnett as Jessica and Valerie Buxbaum as her acting coach, plus 19 other characters played by Isabella B. Schemmerhorn, Luann Pamation, Susan Hampel, Liz Dunn, and Diane Craig. Dory Braun is the stage manager. Bechtel also provides audio and lighting design, and Larry Hampel is handling projection design and tech operations. Performances begin at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $10 and are available at the Grange Door, Darville's Bookstore, and orcasactors.org. The play contains adult language. I was really hesitant to take the role because it's a lot of lines. It felt daunting, Burnett said. As time went on, I felt so deeply in this character. It's been really fun. I love psychology, so the neuroscience of it all is so amazing. These lines are in my body now. Doug says if we aren't having fun, we're doing something wrong. Added Bechtel, Alyssa is having a great time, and the audience is going to catch up to that. There is a long history of females playing Hamlet, a far cry from when it was first staged in the early 1600s and female roles were performed in Shakespeare's plays by boys. The most famous 18th century England actress to take on the character was Sarah Siddon. Since the 19th century, hundreds of leading ladies have taken on the part, a black diamond feat for many actors. According to Craig, the role is more suited to a woman. This play offers that Hamlet is an indecisive character who must consider many variables, a trait most often assigned to women. Men, the script proposes, are more inclined to consider this or that. Women tend to consider the whole picture, a trait that defines Hamlet as indecisive, she said. The play is a delightful romp, to be sure, but there's more to it than meets the eye. Women Playing Hamlet calls for a selection of 4 different types of purses. Each purse will be crafted by Orcas premier quilter Maggie Kaplan and will be raffled off the last night of the play, November 19th. Raffle tickets will be available for purchase each night of the production. I love that it's an all-women cast. There is a lot of talent in the group. I don't know Hamlet intimately, but it's so fascinating to learn about Hamlet and the history. A lot of facts about Shakespeare and Hamlet are embedded in the play, Burnett said. Audiences can expect to laugh a lot. The characters are pretty lovable. Whether you know Hamlet or not, the story will scoop you up. Laughter is good medicine for us during these times. From the Journal of the San Juan Islands, The Samish Nation's Fight Against Climate Change, by Heather Spaulding. The Samish Indian Nation is one of many Coast Salish tribes that once made San Juan Islands home, and as climate change becomes a reality, they have been actively working to protect this area. We are trying to be proactive. Indigenous people have a connection to place, and they feel the effects of climate change the deepest, said Todd Woodard, Samish Nation's Department of Natural Resources director. Woodard himself is not a member of the Samish Nation. He grew up on the East Coast, but loved the Pacific Northwest, and he and his wife jumped at the opportunity to relocate here. I've always been an outdoorsman. I saw a chance to save things I'm passionate about and turn it into a career. I get to do what I love. I find it tremendously rewarding. Woodard explained that the department is small and faces many challenges in the quest to preserve areas and creatures of cultural significance. It's really a death by a thousand cuts, Woodard explained, including pollution, land use, rising temperatures, and rising seas. Orcas are the number one priority and a prime example of systemic-wide issues the region faces. The Samish view southern residents as family. Therefore, for them, it is like trying to save a child or relative, Woodard explained. Threats to the southern resident orcas that frequent the San Juans include lack of Chinook salmon, pollution, and noise from boats. Unless we start acting with their best interests at heart, they will continue to struggle. There are far more memorials now than namings, he said. To restore salmon habitat requires restoring and protecting rivers and beaches, preventing ocean temperatures from rising, cleaning up oceans, and taking a good look at modern fishing practices. The Tribal Council passed a resolution that they will no longer serve Chinook at tribal events. And that is a big deal, giving up something that has been of cultural significance, a part of them since time immemorial, Woodard noted. He added that the fishing industry had collapsed on the East Coast. Fisheries hit rock bottom, everyone out of a job, he said. It came back as a more managed industry. Woodard's team has been on the ground cleaning beaches, removing seawalls, replanting trees along riparian zones, and more. On one shoreline, forage fish were spotted spawning almost immediately, according to Woodard. For the eighth season, his team has removed creosote from beaches, along with styrofoam and other toxic non-biodegradable items. That creosote will no longer move up the food chain, he added proudly. Kelp forests, critical habitat for countless species, have been declining. Samish DNR divers have been working with Friends of the San Juans to photograph and monitor kelp. They have discovered an approximately 30% decline in kelp in about 20 areas throughout the islands. Besides Friends, they have also teamed up with the San Juan Preservation Trust and other nonprofits, neighboring tribes, and government agencies as well. We have a really good relationship with San Juan County Community Development and Planning Department, Woodard said. When the Aleutian Isle sank in the summer of 2022, the Samish assisted. Sadly, their crew had been cleaning up beaches in the area right before the vessel sank. We wouldn't be able to do half the work we do without our partners, said Woodard. Like the San Juan County Environmental Stewardship Department, the Samish are beginning a survey of areas vulnerable to increased sea level rise. We're looking at the landscape and thinking about the implications to the species and what can be done. This will be the first comprehensive survey, Woodard said. When asked what he would like to see from San Juan community members, Woodard said, engage with indigenous communities. Have meaningful partnerships with them. Don't just say, this is what we're going to do, what do you think? But this is what we are thinking of doing. We would love your input. The phrasing may sound similar, but the difference results in truly listening to tribal input and incorporating them into future plans. No matter where you are, there are underserved communities that have knowledge of the area and know what the area was like hundreds of years ago. The San Juans were heavily utilized by numerous indigenous people, Woodard said. The bounty of this area is why they continue to thrive. From the Islands Weekly, Seniors Finish on a High Note, by Gene Helfman. Lopez hosted Cedar Park Christian October 23rd for the Lobos Seniors' final game. Melissa Valencia and Amelia Patino were recognized before the game for their outstanding effort and invaluable leadership all season. Both shone in the ensuing play, with Lopez sweeping the match in three games. Lopez jumped out to a 7-0 lead in the first game and was never really threatened, the game ending Lobos 25, Eagles 17. The second game was a little closer, the score tied at 5 apiece, before Lopez surged ahead on a very strong serving, including multiple aces. Cedar Park rallied late, but the outcome was pretty much decided early on, the game ending 25-18 in favor of Lopez. After some back and forth early on, the third game followed a similar script, ending Lopez 25, Cedar Park 14. Afterward, Coach Kerry Warner was thrilled with the performance, certainly the outcome, but especially the level of play. "We cleaned up our serving and served so strong and did a lot better on blocking. Importantly, we've mastered the calm in the chaos that often develops on long points. It was a really solid win." And now, choice excerpts from the San Juan County Sheriff's log. On October 27th, the Lopez Fire Department and a deputy responded to a tripped fire alarm at the school. There was no fire. The alarm system was found to be faulty. A Lopez deputy responded to a suspicious circumstance. The matter was investigated and no crime had occurred. On October 29th, a Lopez resident requested assistance with a chronic barking dog problem. The deputy located the property owner and will follow up with them for a solution. A Lopez deputy was dispatched to a local establishment about an overturned dinghy and notified the owner. And this concludes the November 8th edition of the Island Digest. This edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. Orcas Center is your place for fun and intrigue this winter with live concerts, performances, art openings, and more. To check out upcoming events and purchase tickets, visit www.orcascenter.org. Thank you for listening to the Island Digest, a small sampling of what's in your local print newspapers this week. The Journal, Sounder, and Weekly rely upon advertising, subscriptions, and donations to support our mission of high-quality community journalism. To contribute, visit our websites or email publisher Colleen Smith Summers at csmith@soundpublishing.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and come back next week for more local news from San Juan County, Washington. I'm Caleb Summers.